Welcome to the Witches Healing Podcast. This is a show that helps you get back to the basics of your spiritual journey. I am your host, Moonstone Energy, spiritual wellness coach, and entrepreneur. I am here to show you that the way out is within. Now let's get into this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. I am your host. And today we are going to talk about what to do when you have been a victim to spiritual fraud. Now, I just finished doing an episode in regards to this on my other podcast, which is Moonstone Energy. All links will be in the listen notes, but I wanted to add this to the list of episodes here on this podcast, because this is something that is very important. So just to go into this very briefly, so you have a little bit of insight and understanding. So I witnessed a video of someone using their loved ones, well, their sons passing as a means to gain traction and clout, if you will. And the mother of said child entered the chat, literally, and said, "This is a fraud. Well, this is a lie. My son never said that. Why would you do that?" You know, stuff like that. And the person that committed the atrocious crime has been known for their fraudulent activities. I think that when it, from a perspective of just a human, you have to have some form of a moral compass when it comes to things of that nature, because it's very touchy. That's someone's loved one. So you can't approach it as I'm right, you're wrong, and this is what they said to me. If you want, and this is what she said, if you wanted my help, all you had to do was book me. You will not be in my comment section telling me or calling me a liar on my platform. And I thought that was very bold of her, especially if you're claiming to reach out to my son. Like, this is your platform, but that is my son. Just as a mother, right? But as far as, you know, as far as spiritual fraud is concerned, it is very much a thing. There are people out here that are trying to hack into your bank account, crack your card, get your personal information, steal your identity. There's also people out here in the spiritual community that are trying to steal your spiritual ashe, your energy, as well as your physical ashe, your cash. They are out here trying to take both. Some are taking your spiritual ashe and using it for spell work for themselves. They're taking it to use that energy to feed to a spirit. They are taking that energy and using it to manifest the money. They're taking your money to do whatever they want to do with it. Greed, right? So it's very important to be discerning. I will say this, and I've already shared this on this podcast as well as the other podcast, but I was a victim of spiritual fraud along with other friends of mine. They were as well. And during that time when I was going through it, for me personally, I can't speak for anyone else's experiences, but for me personally, it happened during a time where I was at my most vulnerable point, because I was in the process of losing my father and I had to deal with his passing and as well as his affairs. I had to take care of those myself. So it was very difficult for me to be in a space where I could make sound decisions because I was literally falling apart. So I couldn't even make good decisions for myself. So it was hard. And that person preyed on me during that time. Two people, actually. And during that time, it was very difficult for me to do things the way that had I been in a place where I basically was in tune with myself and the things that was going on around me, I was spiritually aware, none of that would have happened at all. I would not have been a part of the program that I was a part of had I been aware and had I known better. I think that when people are starting out with their spiritual journey, they read different books, they're learning about crystals, they're learning about their chakras, they're learning about their ancestors or what have you. They're learning about all of these different things, and it can be information overload. So they don't necessarily know proper protocols for different things, because I know when I started out, I didn't necessarily know proper protocols for different things. So as of right now, I am working on my first book. And yes, I've already created different ebooks. I have a tarot journal out that's out right now, but I'm working on an actual like book, like literature, like something that you can have and read. I'm working on that right now, and it'll be out soon. So you definitely want to make sure that you are following me on Instagram as well as Threads, because on Threads, I will be giving, you know, behind the scenes, basically my journey to print. So in the book, I will be discussing different ways to know when there is spiritual fraud going on, essentially, and also some reputable spiritual mentors that I have ran across along the way after I went through what I went through myself. And I feel like that's something that is key, because when you're walking this path, it's actually kind of hard to know who's a fraud and who isn't, especially when it comes to like the path that you're looking to walk. So for example, if you're looking to practice witchcraft, who's not a fraud in the witchcraft community? If you're looking to learn more about hoodoo or any other ATRs, who's not a fraud that practices hoodoo or an ATR? Like, those are the things that I'm actually talking about in the book. I'm talking about different mentors that you can trust. I list several of them to learn from. You can even book them for their services if you want to, but I feel like that's something that needs to be said. I mean, it's one thing to have all of this literature, and that's another thing I want to talk about when it comes to learning spirituality. Of course, you want to get a mentor. Of course, you want to find an elder, whatever, in your path, along your path, but your elder, what people don't talk about or fail to realize, I would say, is that if the student is not ready, the teacher will not appear. If it is not time for them to be in a state of mentorship, is not going to come. And that's just what it is. And that's just how spirit works. If it's not your time, because even, and I'll say this, even with my experience, no matter how ridiculously bad it was, I mean, it had its ups and downs. I'm not going to say it was completely horrible, but when I realized what happened, what was actually going on afterwards, it made me disgusted. But as far as what happened to me, it led me into a different phase into my life. And it also allowed me to find different people and different opportunities along my way. So It was pretty messed up, in my opinion, but everything that we go through is a stepping stone. And I wholeheartedly believe that. It is a stepping stone. That is what's going to build your character. That's what helped to build my character. So everyone has their place in your life for a reason. Everyone has a time frame in your life for a season, regardless of if they were a good mentor or a bad mentor. They were there for a purpose. And the purpose could have been you becoming a better mentor than them. It could be that you need to find other people that are more aligned with what you're looking for spiritually. They could have led you to another mentor. It just depends on what the situation is, but everything that happens, happens for a reason. And what I want to say is when we are going through this journey of spirituality, we're always constantly going through this. If you are not in a place of learning, meaning when you are, and I talk about this as well, in order to be a good mentee, because there is a such thing as a bad mentor, you have to be a good mentee, meaning you have to be willing to receive information, constructive criticism. You have to be willing to do the work. You have to be on the, you know, not just do the work as in if you're learning how to practice something and you have to learn these different herbs and its properties. I'm talking about do the work as in spiritual work. Have you done your shadow work? Are you constantly on a place of healing yourself and going through your processes and learning from your lessons? Are you in a space to actually be a good mentee? Because there's a such thing as a bad mentee. There is. There is absolutely a such thing as being a bad mentee, a bad student. If there's, hell, a bad customer, it's all the same. You have to be able to be in a space of, it's a give and a take when it comes to a mentor and a mentee relationship. It's reciprocity. You have to give, and it's a give and a take. Give and a take. They give you knowledge. You take it in and you sow, and in turn, you sow into them. And I'm pretty sure the sow into them is the monetary piece because, of course, you have to pay for these services. I'm not saying that you can't find, there's no such thing as a free mentor because it probably is somewhere. But just like you, these people have bills and things to pay as well. And that's just the honest truth about it. I know a lot of people have different hangups about paying for spiritual services, but think of it this way. The times in which people weren't paying for spiritual services, they lived in a village where people or living in a place where their community took care of them. We are not in those times. We aren't in those times. That's unrealistic. We are living in a very capitalistic world. I was about to say university. We're living in a very capitalistic world, and there's no way I can, if this is going to be something that I want to be an income replacer for me and be able to actually fulfill my duties as a teacher, as a spiritual teacher, there's no way that I cannot get paid for these services. How can I be of service to you and I got to go to work? After this session, I got to go to work the next morning. I can't, it's going to be a lot taken. It's going to take its toll essentially on the person that you're looking to get guidance from. And that's just the honest to God truth about it. If you have someone that reads cards, they have to go to work. Something has to pay the bills. That's just the honest truth of it all. I'm going to dive back into this episode in one moment, but I had to interrupt and let you know that you are not alone. You are loved, and most importantly, you are supported. If at any moment you feel that you need guidance or mentoring, you have resources available to you, love. Please visit moonstoneenergy.com and book a one-on-one spiritual coaching session or an intuitive reading, and let's get you back into your power. So it's very important to know that when you are looking to walk this path and learn different things, you have to be a good mentee. And before you're a good mentee, you have to be you have to be willing to receive. But until it is time for you to become a student, like a student of someone else, you have to read. I don't know where this whole thing with people thinking that, and granted, I understand lies are in textbooks. I understand we live in a world where in the educational system, there are lies in the textbooks, watered down information, especially when it comes to history. But that's something else. That's the topic for another day. We have to be discerning, but the first teacher that we have, if there is no physical person here to teach us this, is a book. I don't understand who or when they created this lie that you cannot become a spiritual person if you do not read. You have to find an elder. That is a lie, a bold-faced lie. Yes, you need an elder eventually, but you need to read first. You need to study first. How am I supposed to know if this path is for me if I don't read about it? If I don't read about it, I don't know about it. If I don't research it, I don't know about it. I don't care if it's Google or not. I have to read something about it to get a gist of what it means. And then I'll find books along the way on Amazon or my local library pertaining to whatever topic that it is. But I have to read first. So yes, is it important to read about whatever spiritual path or spiritual, whatever aspect of spirituality you're looking to learn about? Absolutely. It's important. Me personally, if you don't have a bookshelf with books on them, I'm going to have a problem with you. Because what are you doing? You can't, even if it is a audio book, okay, because I know I like to switch between physical book, ebook, and then audio book. That's the trinity for me. I need to know something, but it has to be given to me in a form of which I can openly receive it. I may be out running errands, grocery shopping, but I still want to listen to a book. I still want to read. I have an audiobook available. There are so many different mediums for it. So why is it that we are taught or we are believing that books are not important? Yes, they are. There's so many scholars out here that write books, but yet we're teaching people that you should not read a book. That is the most asinine thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And if you sit here and believe that mess, shame on you. Shame on you. But please understand that when it is in anything that is pertaining to your spiritual path, the way in which everything will play out is it'll play out within its own timeline. Don't be pressed to get a mentor. Straight out the gate, I will say that. Don't be pressed to get a spiritual mentor straight out the gate. Read about what it is you are looking to get yourself into. Because a lot of the times, these people that get into these different fields, they do not understand what it means to be within that field. What is required of them. That's just like applying for a job and you don't have the skill sets to do the job, but you lied on your application and then you got accepted because you were greedy and you wanted some money because you had your bills to pay. Great, I get it. I get it, but you can't be inside of the back with all those servers and plugs and switches just standing there scratching your head. You're going to blow something up. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to have this. You have to have the knowledge first before you get yourself into something. And one other thing I wanted to touch on, aside from getting a spiritual mentor and getting different books and things of that nature, you have to have a relationship with yourself first, as well as your ancestors. I don't care what your spiritual path is, what you claim to be, what if you practice witchcraft, you practice hoodoo, you practice voodoo, you practice anything. Get a relationship with your ancestors of your highest good, of course. Those are the people that you need to be connecting with. They are your first spiritual teacher before anyone else. And they will tell you, they will lead you where you need to go as it pertains to a mentor. As for me, I unfortunately did not trust my inner knowing because there were several red flags that I noticed with my mentor or my ex-mentor. I did not pay attention to them. I should have paid attention to them. I also talk about this in my book as well, what to look out for when you are looking for a mentor, because it's unfortunate that I would even have to consider putting something like this in written form, but it's imperative. People are literally out here to steal from you and they have no shame. The gag is their day is coming. They are not above anything. There is no gray and white area. If you ever read the tarot and you see the Justice card, she is holding a sword and also a scale. That's it. And the funny thing is, see, and this is just a small caveat, esoteric like symbolisms and things are very apparent throughout the United States, but people don't want to talk about that. Lady Justice is in the court, is a symbol of the court. The Justice card is in tarot, but that's neither here nor there. I'm talking about the Lady Justice. Okay, she has a sword and she has a Libra scale. The scale, there's no in-betweens. There's no in-betweens. There's only good or bad, right, wrong. And the sword is representative of mental knowledge, truth, logic. It has nothing to do with emotions. It has nothing to do with anything else but what was facts. So when it comes to spiritual mentors and their integrity, It is. I've seen so many different people prey on their own students, their own clients, just to make an extra buck. When I tell you, I am disgusted. I am disgusted. They have no shame. But the crazy part of it all is when it comes to divine justice, because I believe that we were all divinely created. There was no, you're going to be more special than this person and you're going to be more. The only thing that separates the student from the mentor is the knowledge. That is it. That is all. There's nothing different between you and your neighbor. You are a human being. If you trip on your shoestrings, you're going to fall flat on your face on the ground. Same would happen if I would have done the same thing. There is no difference. And I've had to have this conversation one time with someone else. I remember when I was still a part of the program that I was in, and I was talking to this girl, and she was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking to you, blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, what you think she going to do?" I was like, "Girl, I am just like you. Nothing is different. She is just like you. She is, the only difference is probably spiritual knowledge. That's it. She is a human being. And you will not be sitting here, and I will not allow you to sit here and treat this woman like she is the elevated of the most elevated, exalted, etc. You will not do that. Even if she is a mentor, quote unquote mentor, you will not do that. She's a person. She got bills to pay. She got kids to take care of. She got rent. she has laundry to do. Like, come on now, stop it." And I see this so much with And I know, and I get it. It's like, oh my God, you're here. Like I would watch you on TV, or I would watch you on my phone and yada, yada, yada. I'm so like surprised and shocked I'm in your presence. I get it. I have my favorite authors. I have my favorite actors. I have my favorite actresses. I have them too. But I will never dehumanize them. That's the problem with the world that we live in today. We have an issue with dehumanizing celebrities to the point where we feel like they aren't people. Prime example, when Will Smith did what he did at the Oscars, people were so shocked and just like, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. Granted, I was shocked too. But at the end of the day, that man was tired and he was sick of it. He had a human experience very publicly. Because I promise you, I was like, listen, you are shocked that he did this on TV. You see that every day when you go to the store. And don't get me started on freaking Popeyes when the chicken sandwich came out. People were acting a fool. That is not the first time you've ever seen somebody get slapped. Let's be real. y'all, we live in a world where we dehumanize each other so bad to the point where we exalt other people in different tax brackets to a certain level. The next time you hear from me, let's say the next episode, you'll be one step closer to your highest self, one step closer to stepping into your divine energy and in complete flow. And so it is. Ache.